Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome, everybody, to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, we have a special guest today.
It's not a two-man show anymore. At least for now.
No, it's not. We have a special guest, Nick Robinson, on the show today. Nick, welcome to the show.
Heck yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And before we start talking to Nick and delving into that big brain of his, we need to let everybody know we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
That is right. Nick, welcome to the show. It's not your first time, is it?
Nope. No, two here, I think.
Yeah, we've had you on here before. Great show as always. We're going to be switching up the format a little bit for the next few weeks. It's playoff time. You probably don't have any fantasy leagues going on. They've all wrapped up. At least, dear God, I don't see how they couldn't be. But we're just going to have a special guest on every week from here into the Super Bowl. And we're just going to kind of have an open mic. We're just going to just talk fantasy football. Today, I really want to delve into more of a review of the 2020 season. Is that all right with you guys?
I would love to talk about my 2020 season. How was your 2020 season?
My 2020 season was absolutely atrocious, and we're going to talk about it. It's like polar opposites, which is kind of interesting to me.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So before we start, Nick, do you have a Twitter handle? You're on Twitter. We know you're on Twitter. What's your handle?
I am at NIROBI. NIROBI03.
There we go. Matt, I've been thinking about it all day. We didn't talk last week.
No.
I gotta hear a Renshaw family story. I'm ready for it. Hit me with it. Hit me with it hard. Let's go.
You want it hard.
I want it hard. It long. I want it fast. Whatever. Just hit me with it. I just need it in my life.
My oldest turned 5. And we partied hard. 5-year-old party hard. Woke up, donuts for breakfast.
Nice.
Went out, got Pizza Ranch for lunch.
Ugh, not a fan.
Oh, man. Then presents, whatever. This was on her birthday. Made her favorite meal for dinner. The next night, we went to my parents' house, partied it up with grandma and grandpa. The next day, we partied it up with my in-law. So it was like a full-blown 3-4 days of 5-year-old birthday parties.
My goodness. And it was epic. Epic is definitely one word to describe that.
Epic. JoJo Bows were all over the place.
Nice. Crazy. Okay. Well, that's going to be hard to top. Nick, you got anything you want to share? You're a family man. We know that.
Yeah, not a whole lot this year.
No? Yeah, it's been kind of quarantining it up, huh?
Yeah, very much so. I'd say that sounds more like a super spreader birthday than it is a epic, but either way.
Pretty much.
Yeah, no, it's been a whole lot of nothing trying to – the girls are back at daycare and remote learning. That's interesting, but yeah, they went like 6 weeks at home trying to quarantine before Christmas. So I got some family members that are high risk, so we took some precautions, and me and my youngest – both had COVID there for a little bit, so it's nice to get them back into the swing of not being here 24/7. I love them, but it's a lot.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Like, the whole thing that Matt just described sounds absolutely terrible. Seeing family? Oh, my God. Awful.
Really?
Awful. For that long? That many days in a row?
Oof. No, it was one day each.
Exactly. Hold me on suicide watch. Man. By the way, this is the Dynasty Dad Show. Thank you for listening. We went sledding for like the first time. Well, it's first time for me and since I was a kid.
Like, did you go sledding though? Or
I went sledding. Damn it! I wasn't gonna climb all the way on top of that hill and not slide down. Are you kidding me?
All right.
It was fun. It was a blast. I'm super sore for like 2 days afterwards though. But you know, that reminds me. this Christmas, I capped off Christmas Day the best way I've ever done it in my 30 plus years of existence. Would you like to know how?
You drank a Corona.
No, as you know, this summer I completely redid my entire bathroom, right? Got a new bathroom, new bathtub, just a bitchin' bathtub. Great bathtub. Jets, whirlpool, everything. I had mentioned to my wife that I've always been curious how a bath bomb works.
You did not.
I did too. Santa just so happened to give me a like orange citrus bath bomb. Okay. Changed my life. Changed my life. So I took, I was like, they were all, I was kind of just, you know, me and family. So I was just kind of done because it was family day all day. It was Christmas. I was like, I'm gonna take a bath. I feel like I need to wash the family stuff off, the Christmas vibe. It's a new, we're done here. I draw myself a bath. I remember I got the bath bomb. I throw the bath bomb in, fizz everywhere. Smells like just orange juice. It's amazing. Then I remember, you know what, Justin? You have a bottle of wine out there too.
You did not.
I did too. I grabbed a bottle of wine. I sat down in my orange fizzy bathtub. I put my iPad up and I put on the basketball game.
Sure you did.
Dude.
You watched The Bachelorette.
No. No. I put on the basketball game and I absolutely lived my best life. It was the most relaxed I've been in months. It was great. Easily the best way to cap off Christmas. I highly recommend it.
How many times have you done it since?
Zero, because I only had one bath bomb.
Oh.
I'm not gonna give myself a bath bomb until like next Christmas. Then I'm just gonna do it again.
That's your, like amazing. Your Christmas tradition.
Dude, amazing. I'm telling you. Highly recommended. That's enough of that. I can't wait for us to hear about that on Twitter.
Way
at Dynasty Dads. Just picture in your head me naked in a bathtub, drinking wine, watching basketball. And the water's just orange. I smelled like a citrus for like a week. It was great.
How many roses were given out during that basketball game?
I can't believe she didn't pick Todd. Now, 2020 was a hell of a year, right? 2020 was just a ridiculous year, ups and downs, mostly downs. But as far as like professional football goes, I got to give it to the NFL. They actually didn't do too terrible of a job. Right,
I didn't think we were having a full season.
If
you'd have told me that before week one, I'd be like, no.
I didn't see us having a full season, which is why I didn't prepare at all for the 2020 season, fantasy wise, and it really showed in the amount I got paid out this year. So, the NFL didn't miss a single game. Not one game was canceled.
No,
which is crazy.
One was rescheduled and then rescheduled again. And then rescheduled again.
I'm not saying there were no hiccups, but they didn't miss a game, which I think the NFL has to be applauded for.
That's true. Yeah.
They figured it out. Wasn't always the best product on TV. Wasn't always the best product on the field. But it was football. It was there, right? With that being said, we had some really surprising performances. So, like, if you look at the scoring leaders, if you will, for 2020, your top dogs are quarterbacks. You got three quarterbacks. You got four quarterbacks in the top five, or top six, excuse me. Josh Allen scored more than any other player in fantasy football. He had 396, according to ESPN.com. Matt?
Stop playing terrible fantasy football. Join there MFL.
There we go. You got Josh Allen as your lead dog. You got Aaron Rodgers, 13 points below him. Then Kyler Murray, about 5 points below that. Your top running back was Alvin Kamara. Then you got Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Davante Adams, Ryan Tannehill, Tom Brady. I feel like when most people read those names off or they hear those names in their ear holes, the one that stands out the most has to be Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill, what are you doing here? This is top 10 territory, baby. You don't belong here.
I thought I remember somebody saying Ryan Tannehill might finish in the top five.
That's right. That was me. Hey, that was me.
I know that guy.
But still, he definitely stands out here like a sore thumb, does he not?
Of that group, yeah. I mean, Brady's there too. I don't think anybody expected a top 10 year out of Brady.
No. No. And with Brady being there, I mean, that's one of the surprises for the year, I would say. What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I'm probably more surprised with Brady than I am Tannehill. Might sound crazy.
No,
but Tannehill had some big games last year to finish the season off. And going to a new team is usually never great. And I know they've got a ton of talent on that side of the ball in Tampa. But I expected – everybody was high on him, the whole team. Everybody thought they were going to win Super Bowl, their most talented team, which obviously that offense was – stacked talent-wise, but I just did not think it was going to click well as it did.
That's surprising because wasn't Winston like QB5 last year and he threw 30 picks?
Yeah, but he's a gunslinger. He just goes out and tosses the ball around, and that's a lot of the weapons I have there are just throw the ball up to Michael Thomas and – or, sorry, Mike Evans. I don't know. I was just looking at his name here. Throw the ball up to Mike Evans, and Brady's not one to typically do that, but especially this late in his career.
Well, one thing that I found interesting when I was looking at the 2019 scoring leaders, Christian McCaffrey, that was the year he absolutely just went off completely. Christian McCaffrey was the top overall fantasy scorer in 2019 with 470 points. Again, 470 points. Your top scorer this season was Josh Allen with 396. I mean, that's a huge difference, especially when you consider the difference in position. We're going from a running back to a quarterback. On top of that, your top quarterback, your number two overall scorer last season or in 2019 was Lamar Jackson with 415, still would have outscored the top guy this year. I mean, it's just a really weird year. Do you guys see this year being, irregular or is it just me?
I mean, no, I think this is the norm. I think 2019 was irregular. I don't think we'll see another running back put up the numbers that McCaffrey did. Lamar Jackson put up those points when he broke NFL records. Like it is what it is. It's not like Jefferson broke a rookie record this year. Kamara broke a single game record, but we didn't see any season long records get broke like we did last year.
Yeah, and I know we can't extrapolate out three games, but McCaffrey, in the three games he did play, he averaged over 30 points, which would be over 480 if he played all 16, which obviously that's pretty goofy math when you're trying to project out from three games. But,
Speaking of Christian McCaffrey, ESPN's Field Yates has come out this week and declared that Christian McCaffrey is the number one overall fantasy player for 2021. What says you, Nick?
Totally agree. I think he comes back healthy. Mike Davis is not going to stay in his way of getting touches. He is, in my opinion, for sure 101.
I guess my follow-up question on that would be, what do you think Mike Davis is going to do? I mean, he's done too well to just be tossed aside. He has to be involved.
I think we've said that before about other players that come off, and it might not be for quite that long of a stretch, but we've seen it. I mean, Patrick Laird last year was league winner, and I don't remember seeing his name more than once this year. It just seems like every year we have one or two people that pop and then they just kind of disappear.
I just want to add one real quick thing, Matt, and then we'll get your opinion on it. Mike Davis is the running back 12 on the year. I mean, that's round one, not round one caliber, excuse me. That's a RB1 caliber performance for as far as a season goes. And he missed week 17, by the way, and didn't play in week one. Matt, what's your opinion on Christian McCaffrey as Field Yates' number one running back or number one player to own?
Number one, he's nuts.
Oh.
Joe Brady's leaving. Like, that offense is going to – who are they going to bring in that is an offensive mind like that? Is he going to be okay? Yeah, I think it'll be fine. I don't expect a step back in production, but I don't expect him to be 101. I mean, there's arguments for Dalvin Cook, who they just lost their offensive coordinator, so that same argument can be made. Alvin Kamara, but he may lose Breeze. You know, Derrick Henry just broke the rushing record. Mm-hmm. Why is he not 101. You know what I mean? So I've seen some crazy thoughts that you go Kelce in the first round because he's such an advantage at the tight end position. I don't think anybody's talking 101, but early first round picks. I don't think it's McCaffrey. I won't pick McCaffrey 101.
Quick interesting note about Mike Davis. I'm looking at his week-to-week games. He didn't tally over 100 yards from line of scrimmage since week 5 against Atlanta. Now, it doesn't mean he had bad performances. He was definitely scoring touchdowns and getting his catches. So PPR leagues, he was valuable. Had double-digit carries every week he played from week 11 on for the rest of the season. But as far as like getting your yardage there, it just wasn't happening with Mike Davis. And I don't know if that says more about the talent of Mike Davis or just the scheme that Carolina was trying to run there as far as running backs go. But I found that interesting.
Joe Brady is an offensive genius.
Offensive genius.
Offensive genius. When he ends up in Houston, Deshaun Watson, QB3.
I want to pivot a little bit, stay on the running back position, but David Montgomery ends the season as the running back 4. When we're comparing him with names like Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Jonathan Taylor, I was a little surprised to see David Montgomery end up that high. Looking at his performances, it's no surprise, but I don't know. Am I alone here?
He had a weak stretch to finish the year. I mean, you want to talk about league winners. I think Montgomery was a league winner in terms of what he did at the end of the season.
20 points or more since the Bears bye week in week 11. Every week. 20 plus points.
Yeah.
Killed it.
Yeah.
Killed it.
So, the injury helped. Tariq Cohen getting hurt, taking that backfield share away and giving it to Montgomery definitely helped. But there's people out there that still hate Montgomery. I don't think he's an RB. I don't think he's a top 5 running back, but I think he's a low end RB1, 10 to 12. No?
Nick, what do you think of that?
I think Chicago's got, they're pretty heavily invested in him. And I don't think he takes what you give him and a little bit more. I don't think he creates a ton. I am glad to see, I was pretty hyped on him coming out of college. But he's been fairly quiet. But, yeah, he started the year pretty mediocre. And then, yeah, since that bye week, he's just blown up. But I think as long as he keeps getting the workload, like Matt said, who knows what happens if Cohen comes back or if they fill that spot. But if he gets the touches, I think pretty much anybody, if they're getting the touches, then you're a average or a little better than average producer, you're going to put up some points.
And the Bears may have a new head coach. I mean, Matt Nagy isn't safe by any means. If they go out and get blown out in the first round, I wouldn't be shocked to see him get fired. So you could have a new offensive scheme, a new offensive-minded head coach come in and switch things up a little bit.
Are there very many more players at the running back position that were more disappointing to you guys than Kerryon Johnson this year? I mean, absolutely atrocious. Running back 64 did absolutely nothing behind Adrian Peterson. There wasn't really much competition. I don't know. I was just expecting a lot more. I wasn't expecting running back 1 numbers, but I was expecting more of an average than 4.5.
They drafted Swift. They signed Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect much out of Kerryon Johnson this year.
Prior to those two moves, I would have expected quite a bit out of him. But, yeah, after you bring in AP and Swift, I thought he was going to take a pretty big backseat there.
Yeah, only hit double digits once, and that was in week 12 against Houston, where he had 15 carries, which is his season high. So, I don't know, must have just been me then. That's fine. As a Bronco fan, I was definitely disappointed with their running back situation. I mean, Philip Lindsay didn't do much at all. Melvin Gordon didn't do diddly, if you ask me. But
Melvin Gordon didn't do diddly?
Yeah, not as much as you would expect out of Melvin Gordon. I mean, at least I had too high of expectations for these guys. Melvin Gordon ended up being your running back 14, thanks to some pretty big games, but some mediocre ones as well. I mean, week 12, 3 points. Week 10, 4.6. Week 9, 3 points. Week 3, 7. Week 16, 7. I mean, it's just like he had some pretty big stinkers.
Yeah, two games with 25 points.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't have the worst year ever, but it was kind of hard to tell when to actually start the guy. You didn't know what kind of version of Melvin Gordon you were going to get because that offense as a whole was just so bad. Yeah, bad's the word.
Yeah, that sounds like a lock type word.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a lock.
Lock it in.
Thank you for that. Should we talk a little bit about the rookies?
Yeah, are we going to? All right, let's talk rookies.
So your top 10 scoring rookies, right? You got Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the 10th overall pick there, or at the 10th overall there with 176. Brandon Ayuk with 184. Antonio Gibson, 193. Chase Claypool, also 193. T. Higgins, 194. CeeDee Lamb, 208. Big jump there. Jonathan Taylor, 214. James Robinson, 250. Trailing 1 point to Justin Jefferson at 251. And then Justin Herbert at 299. My goodness. That's some rookie love right there.
It's a good year to be a rookie running back.
Whew. My dog. Biggest surprise out of there is obviously James Robinson, but past that, who's the other biggest surprise? Nick, let's start with you.
I don't know. For me, I didn't expect a ton out of CEH. I know it's not. I don't know if we're just surprised positively here, but from a negative standpoint, I think any running back in the read offense with Mahomes and all their firepower, even though I didn't expect him to come out and be fight for the 101 or anything, I expected a little bit more out of him than he gave this year.
I'm really surprised to hear you say that, Nick, because we know you're a Chiefs fan, number one. But number two, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the consensus 101 as far as ADP goes for rookie drafts this offseason.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think I had JT, Jonathan Taylor, really close with him. I probably would have given him a little edge. But yeah, I expected fairly decent things out of Clyde this year, and I don't think he did terrible by any means.
No.
But he also didn't like pop off the screen either. There were a couple plays where I was impressed, but for the most part, just didn't stand out like I was really hoping as a Chiefs fan. And I don't own him anywhere in Dynasty, but I was just expecting a little bit more. I think.
Just think back to Week One. Do you remember Week One when he scored like two touchdowns? I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is the guy. He's the you have to get him." Like, think back to that game. Think back to the game after they signed Le'Veon Bell. Like, the signs are there. He's gonna be good. I don't know Taylor. I'm still taking Taylor over CEH, but I don't think there's a big gap as people want to put there.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire did miss three games near the second half of the season, week 13, 16, and 17. But he did finish, even with that, he did finish as the running back 22. So not too shabby. He did lead the Chiefs backfield, obviously. But Le'Veon Bell ended up being the RB2 fantasy-wise in Kansas City with 74 points. And again, Clyde Edwards-Helaire with about 176, depending on your format. Matt, who is your biggest surprise from that top 10 scoring list?
Well, if we're going back to hot takes, I think to start the year, I wasn't very high on Antonio Gibson. That one kind of shocked me. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to – Higgins it's probably the biggest surprise to me. I did not think that he would have the year that he had. I thought AJ Green would have a bigger chunk of the offensive playbook there. And then I thought Tyler Boyd, Higgins surprised me. You could get Higgins at the beginning of the second round and I passed on him on multiple occasions. I think I went Denzel Mims over him a couple of times, and looking back, that's probably my biggest miss of the rookie class. And surprised that he's in the top 10.
I'm surprised to not hear either of you say Chase Claypool, because Chase Claypool was my biggest surprise. He was his ADP was 30th overall in rookie drafts this offseason. I think the reason why was so many people were worried about, I think people were genuinely worried about the Steelers offense. Plus you had Juju, you had Deontay Johnson, you had James Washington. Everyone still loved James Washington at the time. And I mean, Chase came out and just balled out for a while there. I mean, he had some pretty, pretty big weeks, 42 points in week 5 against Philly.
Yeah, but that's what carried him.
Well, he also had, don't say that. He had double digits week 2, week 6, week 8, week 9, week 10, week 11, week 12, and week 17. So yeah, 42 points was huge, but he had double digit points. I mean, he was performing very well.
He had 7 weeks of single digit production.
Right? Very hot and cold.
Yeah.
Very hot and cold. But at the end of the season, when you look at everything, it's hard to deny that. I mean, he made a difference. He absolutely made a difference. And for your wide receiver, or for your 30th overall pick in rookie drafts, that's huge. It's huge.
I agree, especially where he was ranked at preseason. I think he was a huge – yeah, for sure. His I was still stuck at running back when I was mentioned CEH. But, yeah, Claypool came out of nowhere. Like, obviously I knew his name, but – I did not expect anywhere near that performance from him.
Here's some guys that got drafted around Chase Claypool. Okay. Devin Duvernay, Van Jefferson, Cole Kmet, Darrington Evans. I think I'll take Chase Claypool over any of those guys.
Yeah, it's easy to look back and say that.
Well, no shit. But I'm just saying. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, when you look at the names around him, there is filled with a list of guys that you're never going to have on your roster. You're never going to start them. Chase Claypool is somebody that's worth starting consideration every week. Every week.
With Juju leaving, yeah.
That's a whole other subject.
Well, you just said hit or miss. Are you're going to start him and hope that he pops?
I think in certain situations, absolutely. Yeah.
I think he's shown down in the playoffs. Look at the fantasy playoffs that his production was single digit every single week, unless you're in a weird league where you have week 17. But
so are you telling me for a rookie, you're not impressed with the 30th overall pick though? Like it's a huge surprise. No one expected him to rank in the top 24.
Where was Gibson going?
One moment.
I know where Gibson went in one of our leagues together, but I don't know where he went. Average.
22 overall was his ADP. That's running back 7.
About half a round difference between Claypool and Gibson. Okay.
Big difference.
There is. Here, I guess in my mind, Gibson was coming into Washington where expectations were low because of Geis. Like, do we forget that Geis was there and was supposed to be the guy before he did what he did? Claypool was coming into a crowded-ish wide receiver room. You're right. People were high on James Washington. But there were people that were saying Claypool was the wide receiver 3 in Pittsburgh when he got drafted. No one was saying Gibson was going to be the running back 1 in Washington.
No. No. And here's some running backs who were drafted ahead of Gibson, according to ADP. Zach Moss. Who? Geez, I have to go up quite a bit. Cam Akers. Then you got J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
It's a loaded running back class.
It's very top heavy.
Even at the back, James Robinson.
James Robinson is a complete anomaly. Came out of nowhere. Nobody's seen that coming. Nobody.
Jaguars did.
Yeah, sure.
That's why they got rid of Big Lynn.
Dude, the Jaguars.
I remember somebody giving me crap for spending all 200 of my fab on him preseason.
Didn't see it coming. I didn't. It feels like the Jaguars get lucky on a rookie every single year. Like, it's just some completely out of nowhere rookie ends up performing really well for them. And it still means nothing for the team. Don't get me wrong. But fantasy wise, it's just really interesting to see. Really interesting to see. Antonio Gibson for running backs were taken right behind him. Keyshawn Vaughn, who is somebody I do want to talk about. Anthony McFarland Jr., AJ Dillon, Joshua Kelly. I mean, that's crazy, right? Antonio Gibson blew those guys out of the water.
Yeah.
Out of the water. Okay. Can we talk about Keyshawn Vaughn for just a second?
Yeah, let's talk about Keyshawn Vaughn.
If you don't want to, we don't have to, I guess. I just thought it'd be. It's kind of an interesting name, no?
I just I let someone talk me into drafting Keyshawn Vaughn about 12 rounds too early in a fantasy charity league that I'm in. That's
charity
all.
League.
That's all.
Are we hopeful with Keyshawn Vaughn at all in Tampa Bay? Like, is there a future there?
Absolutely.
Is there?
You don't think?
I do, but it feels like I thought I was the minority. I really did.
No, I don't think Fournette sticks around. I think he's gone. Vaughn's the RB2. He looked good in garbage time the second half against Detroit.
Yeah. Keyshawn Vaughn finishes the season with 23 points on the year, so nothing spectacular. That does trail LeSean McCoy by about 5. Big Len Fournette ended up with 132 and Rojo with 186. Nick, I'd love to hear your opinion on the Tampa Bay backfield.
I am rather disappointed in Vaughn. I actually drafted him in 110 in our league. Just looking at his profile coming in, that was before Fournette went there. But I saw some potential there, and I'm holding out some hope, probably because of sunk cost. But I didn't expect a ton from rookies this year. The right wide receivers without a training camp or anything, I thought all rookies. I was kind of low on all rookies this year, just with COVID going on. I didn't know what to expect. But a lot of other people showed that that did not affect their season, and Keyshawn Vaughn had some healthy didn't even suit him up. And I'm holding on to a sliver of hope, but I'm not super hopeful there.
I guess I don't think COVID really played as much of an impact as some people want to believe, but it really is kind of difficult to imagine how these guys would have performed without those outside, stories and news. And I can't imagine how different traveling must have been for these dudes this year, and how much of a wear or tear, or, you know, how that just affected your mind in general. I mean, it had to play a bit of a part.
Unless your name is Dwayne Haskins.
Unless your name is Dwayne Haskins, who looked like he was having the most fun I've seen anybody have in 2020. I don't know. I mean, is there anybody that you guys want to talk about just off the top of your head? Any big surprises, any big disappointments?
Talking fantasy, we normally don't talk too much about quarterbacks unless you're talking about Superflex League, but
sure.
I don't know if we can get past this without mentioning Herbert as a surprise.
Absolutely.
He is looking like a future stud in the NFL. He's super impressive.
He looks to me what Philip Rivers wished he was.
Yeah. I was pretty happy as a Chiefs fan to see Rivers leave, and I was hoping that they'd struggle for quite a while trying to find that piece, but he just stepped in and took off.
They got QB figured out, and Justin Herbert scored just as many points fantasy-wise as Lamar Jackson did this year. Like, nobody would have called that preseason.
Yeah.
And that's why Anthony Lynn got fired. Because he was saying Tyrod Taylor gave them a better shot to win.
You know what's going to be an interesting thing to see next season, guys, is when we get these dynasty rankings that come out. Kirk Cousins only trailed Justin Herbert by about 30 points. I know there's a huge age difference. I get it. But you got a similar production out of Kirk Cousins than you did with Justin Herbert, who is the dynasty darling right now. Just find that really interesting. It's just one of the things we got to remember. And Matt Ryan, not too far behind either. Ended the season with 282. Week to week, fairly risky, but about less than 50 points there.
Like, Kirk Cousins has always been undervalued.
Oh, absolutely.
You can look at Kirk Cousins splits and see that he plays better home versus away and whatnot, but like that offense, you had Justin Jefferson. You've got Adam Thielen. Dalvin Cook is dynamic. Like, that's an offense set up for success. Irv Smith, Justin, one of your favorite guys. That's a pretty set offense that whoever's quarterback there should produce.
I don't know about you. I had higher expectations of Cam Newton than what we got this year. Finishes as a QB 15, averaged about 17 points a game. But boy, when Cam Newton looked bad, he looked atrocious. Anybody want to call their shot with Cam Newton? Anybody have any predictions that's going to happen there?
He's done?
He can't be done. Somebody with
he's done.
Can't be. I just can't. Yeah, he's got to land somewhere. I mean, he did have a couple of good performances, Matt. He really did. He really did. He ended the season with, I mean, he just completely killed the Jets. 38 points against the Jets, 34 points week two against Seattle, 24 against the Jets in week nine. Starting to see a trend here. I don't know, man. 8 touchdowns on the year, though, is just atrocious. 10 interceptions, fumbled the ball away once. He did rush for 12 touchdowns. Starting to understand why the Patriots didn't make the playoffs.
Where's he going to go?
Somebody's going to pick him up. He's got to be a QB2 somewhere.
Maybe, dude,
he has to. Dynasty wise, okay. I mean, dynasty wise, you got
Ben DiNucci made starts this year, so I get it. Like, I understand.
Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, dynasty asset.
Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick's 90 years old.
Cam Newton looked like he was 90 years old at points.
True, but maybe they move him to tight end.
Nick, I'm curious on your side of that. You got Cam Newton or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
If they both had a starting gig, I think I go Fitzpatrick. But I think Tua has the keys there next year. I know they pulled it from him every time he kind of needed a comeback. They throw Fitz in there. But, yeah, dynasty asset, I think you got to go Cam.
If I throw Ben Roethlisberger in that mix, does that change anything for you guys?
I'll take Ben. I'll take Ben because I think Ben plays next year and is a legitimate starter next year. I don't think either one of the other two are.
Oh,
I guess, yeah. He
might $1 million.
Yeah, that contract might keep him around. It'd be really tough to walk away from 41 guaranteed.
So we talked about Nagy possibly getting fired. Let's look at the open jobs. What is like the number one available open head coaching position if you were a potential head coach?
Nick, I'll let you take this one from here.
I think it's the LA Chargers. I think joining a team with Justin Herbert, I think that team has some talent. Not a whole lot of expectations either. I think they've had some rough times, so I don't think anybody that goes there is going to be totally expected to just compete with Mahomes year one. I think they get a year or two, get a couple years to come in.
They were 12-4 2 years ago.
Yeah. I think whoever there, I don't think they're going to be on a super hot seat. I think they have a 2-3 years to come in, and I think Herbert very easily could be a top 2 or 3 quarterback in the league in a couple years.
Wow.
It's strong, but I don't hate it. I'm not going to lie. You know, you can make jokes, and that's fine. I don't really think the Jacksonville Jaguars – head coach spot is that bad. You have some talented players there. We know there's talent there. You're gonna have, I mean, they have the number one pick locked up, right?
Yeah, it's done. It's
okay. So I mean, you're in all likelihood, you're going to get the quarterback out of Clemson, Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. There's talks about Urban Meyer considering Jacksonville, which I think is going to be really interesting. Jacksonville actually leads the NFL in the most cap space available, so they could make a play for a big free agent or two. I mean, that team, I don't know, man. It could be something special. It's really not that bad of a spot right now.
The only thing that worries me about Jacksonville is their owner came out and said that he gets final say on the roster, not a general manager, not a head coach. That's a little scary, especially for, like, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Like, Jerry Jones isn't the greatest GM.
No.
Like that's a little – that to me, I was like, so I'd probably lean Chargers, but you hit the nail on the head, Justin. You're going to have the first pick. They've got an extra first-round pick in Jacksonville. They've got the first pick of every round. And they've got a ton of cap space. They've got $100 million in cap space. Like, that could turn around real fast.
I was really disappointed with how Matt Patricia did in Detroit. I thought that was a very, less than stellar run. you can start with a much worse roster than you could with Detroit. Matthew Stafford, you don't know what you're really going to get, I guess, with I'm drawing a blank on the wide receiver.
Kenny Galladay is a free agent, so he's gone. I don't think he's coming back.
No,
Marvin Jones is a free agent, so their wide receiver room is pretty bare.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like you could do much worse. But
I think they still have Kerryon Johnson under contract, though, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit's going to Detroit. It doesn't matter, I guess. But I mean, anything's better. Anything's better than the Jets.
Is there? Like, for me, like, if you could put any coach on this number one opening, like, I know my perfect match in my head is Eric Bieniemy with the Chargers. Like, that, I want to see that. That's the match made in heaven for me. Do you guys have that, or am I the only one that does that?
Well, I would if I wasn't a Chiefs fan, but it would kill me. I think it happens, and I hate losing what looks to be a very promising head coach to a division rival that knows our offense very well. It's scary.
Yeah. I don't think I have like a match made in heaven at all, but I do think it's a very intriguing storyline. If we have Urban Meyer in the NFL, especially with a very young team like the Jaguars, I think that would be intriguing and something fun to talk about.
If he goes to the Jags, does he draft Justin Fields instead of Trevor Lawrence?
Nah. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was in negotiation with the Jags, if that wasn't a conversation that would be had during negotiation. You know, where are you leaning? I want to have the ability to make that number one overall pick and chain myself with a quarterback and see where we go.
Imagine the value he would get, though, trading down from one to anywhere, even if it's from one to two, knowing you have Trevor Lawrence there. I know you don't do it, but the haul that Trevor Lawrence would get you right now and end up if he does like Fields
Bill O'Brien is no longer GMing a team. So I don't think we're going to see any terrible, terrible moves, but
I don't think it happens. I think with the way the NFL is going right now and all the young quarterbacks out there, I think you need one to compete. But the rest of the NFL, I think, believes that also. So it would shock me, but the value that you would get for Trevor Lawrence right now would be astronomical.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Okay. Do you want to review like your fantasy football season in review?
Not really, but I will. I'll start off since it's so sad. Like I mentioned a couple times on the show, I did zero research this offseason. I didn't keep up with anything. Anytime you'd send me something, Matt, you'd send me a story, you'd send me a link or whatever, I'd be like, no, send me, hey, you want a mock draft? Screw that. Why bother? I got better things to do.
I believe you said, we are not having a fantasy football season.
A million times. I didn't sign up for any new leagues. I didn't do any research. I didn't do any mock drafts. And here I sit. I think I won third place in one league, and that was it. That was it. I didn't even make playoffs in any of the others. It's been a very, very bad year. I can't say that's ever happened before.
How many leagues are you in?
I'm in about 8 leagues this year. So pretty bad ratio. Yeah. I donated a good chunk of money to league winners. So Nick, before I don't want to hear Matt gloat right now. I'm too depressed. So Nick, I want you to take it away. You go ahead and tell us how you did in fantasy this year.
Did pretty well. One of them is still going on, oddly enough. It's a super odd duck redraft league that you redraft for the playoffs.
Okay.
But I made the playoffs there, looking well, but you kind of restart from where you're at. But as far as dynasty, I got 2/3, a second, and a first. And the first, I had won that same league last year. So I'd be a lot happier about that if the league that I got second in, Matt didn't win that league back to back. So I've been kind of, I thought this was going to be what we talked about the whole time you had me on.
No, I, people absolutely hate to hear about it. That's why we save it for the end of the show.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it was it was a pretty good year, and I'm right there with you. That's why, I mean, I don't know how many hours I spent just talking rules and what happens if the league full or league closes this 2020 season 3 weeks in or 8 weeks in or whatever it is. Yeah, I was not quite as prepared this year, but yeah, I think it was a pretty good season. I'm thrilled that there were no games canceled. It was rough losing CMC and Barkley. Yeah, it was overall a good year.
Yeah, it was running leagues was really hard this year. Usually it's fairly easy. You put in a little legwork every now and then, but most part you kind of leave it alone. It was hard because there were decisions that we have just never had to make before as league managers, you know. So I think that's why I kind of landed on the let the cards fall how they may for my league, the one that I run. It was just like, yeah, you know, put them in your starting lineup if you feel gutsy, but there's a chance it doesn't happen this week. And if it doesn't, take a zero for that position.
Yep.
You know, and I know that's not the greatest way to go about it, but that's how I played it. And I seen how other people did it, and it was like, it was interesting. And if it was higher stakes, I would have considered, but like your normal $50 buy-in, $100 buy-in, something like that, you just let them fall how they will. Matt, go ahead. You have the championship belt for the league that I run carried over your shoulder.
It's right there, man.
It's shiny. I can't even see anything right now. There's such a glare off of it.
Yeah. And the progressive pot. That was like that. That's nice.
We have a progressive pot. You won the championship 2 years in a row. The first time that pot has been cashed in. So let's hear it. Tell us about your success this year.
Well,
Matt,
let's see. How many money league? I was in four.
I like how he's acting like he doesn't know. He's counting them.
Four money leagues. I was
carry the two.
I was in three money leagues with you two, and I won not one, not two. I won all three.
Right. Hell of a year. I actually won four leagues. Was there like a player like on all your rosters?
Funny you should ask that. There was one guy, Patrick Mahomes.
Ah.
Was on all my rosters, which he wasn't anybody that we talked about as a top scorer this year. But funny, yeah, Patrick Mahomes was on my rosters. All the teams that I won, though, I had a top tight end. Darren Waller or Travis Kelce were on every roster that I won with, which I think is something that I've a couple guys put it out on Twitter, you know, show me a championship without one of these two players, these two tight ends. And I couldn't do it in any of the leagues that I was in. So
Patrick Mahomes did finish as the QB4 in the season, which is really surprising considering he didn't have a single game of single digits, and he missed week 17, didn't take a snap. His worst performance on the year was week 7 against my Broncos, where he only scored 12 points, and his top score on the year was week 3 against Baltimore, which I don't think very many people seen coming. In Baltimore, he put up 40, so hell of a season.
Yeah.
Hell of a season. I think Kansas City might have something there.
He's okay. He is okay. I've seen some talk that Deshaun Watson is better than Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like, look what he's done with less. Like, that's the argument.
Sure. Like,
stop it.
No, that's stupid.
Stop it.
That's stupid. Deshaun Watson last year did finish as the QB5, and that's when he had DeAndre Hopkins. So, I mean, he's good. He's very good. But
Give me all the Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, at quarterback especially, you got to look at the weapons that they have. It doesn't matter. You can make the call like, oh, Watson's better if he had more. Well, he doesn't have more. He doesn't.
No
quarterback does right now.
Well, and I feel bad for Watson because he's not getting more. The Texans don't have a ton of cap space. They have no draft picks. Thanks, Bill O'Brien. Like, JJ, there's a reason JJ Watt apologized to him after week 17. I'm sorry we wasted one of your years. Like,
who do you guys remember the details on the DeAndre Hopkins trade? Who did they get?
They got David Johnson in a second round pick.
I mean, that's worth its weight in gold right there. If you can't win with David Johnson in 2020. Can you win at all?
Will Fuller surprised some people.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he stayed healthy Fairly, yeah. Oh, I mean, but fairly healthy.
We know why he stayed healthy. Stop.
No flex zone. It's going to be a hell of an offseason, guys. It really is. I'm very excited for it. If you had listened to this entire podcast, we have a bit of an announcement. Next week, we're going to have another special guest on here, non-industry, just another dude. And he's going to join us in announcing the polls for the Daddy Awards. Now that is going to be fun. There's going to be a few brewskis thrown around. There's going to be probably a couple of swear bombs. I don't know if we're going to get the PG rating next week, but we're going to talk about the Daddy's Awards. Matt, you and I, we got to get to work. We got to put some polls together.
What are you talking about? I already got it.
You got to line your polls up with mine.
They're all lined up. Big polls.
Big polls, little polls. Some, doesn't matter, Matt.
Some new polls.
As long as you're proud.
Polls, some repeat polls.
I'll look at your poll if you look at my poll.
That's right.
Just need Nick, some. You want to show us your poll? Hey, easy. Take it down a notch, big fella. Holy smokes. That does it for the show, guys. I'm pooped. I'm ready to get out of here. Nick, we want to thank you for joining the show this week. You've been a pleasure.
Cool. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Why don't you go ahead and plug your Twitter handle again?
Yeah, at NIROBI03.
That's right. And we are at Dynasty Dads. And be sure to check out DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
For all of your Dynasty football needs. And until next week, we're out.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.